Shalom and good morning. We are blessed by the God of heaven, and we are privileged to have an opportunity to always come to the Word of God for direction, to come to the Word of God for safety. The Word of God is the one that has really given us security here on earth. The Word of God is the one that produces the grace of God. The grace of God comes through His words. The grace of God comes through His deeds. This morning, we want to reflect on a very important and very challenging subject to those who live as missionaries or as minority believers among majority non-believers. And this is the subject of suffering for doing good. We will be looking at the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and we go from verse 13 and we finish up to verses 22, from verses 13 to 22. We have discovered that the book of 1 Peter is a letter that was written by Apostle Peter to believers who are suffering, the minority believers who are suffering in their homeland, in their area, in their rural areas. These were not missionaries who had come from other regions. He wrote to the Gentiles, believers, who believed God, and they were already within their neighbors, who were their brothers and their sisters and their family, who are unbelievers, who are non-believers, and who are persecuting them because of their faith in God. And Peter wrote to encourage and to challenge and to instruct those believers on how they can be able to live victoriously, how they can remain resilient in those regions, how they can remain influential within those regions, how they can remain influential and resourceful in those regions. That's the will of God for all the believers. But Peter said that one of the things that God has provided for these people to remain victorious is His grace. And so the book of 1 Peter and also the 2 Peter is looking at God's provisions of His grace. Grace, Peter said, will help these believers to stand firm during hostility, during external pressure, and during internal pressure. First Peter will be talking about the grace of God during external weeds of persecution. Second Peter will be talking about the grace to stand during the internal pressure of perversion and false teaching. And so here, we discovered, especially in chapter 5, you know, in the first letter, the five chapters of the book of 1 Peter, is that for them to be able to stand firm, Peter said, you need the grace of God. And the grace of God means five things. One, the grace of God means that you are secure before God. You are secure in those regions. You are foreigners. You are passerby. You are here for God's purpose. You have a different identity, but you are secure before God. Number two, he taught them that you need to be sober. The grace of God will help you to be sober. Sober means that you think well, that your mind is not adulterated. Your mind is not affected by the thinking of the people in those regions. You know, for you to remain strong and not being affected by the perspectives and by perversions and by the lives of the paganism there, you need to be sober. The grace of God will help you that. Number three, the grace of God will help you to submit to those fallen authorities. It will help you to submit even as slaves. It will help you to submit to the authorities, even as wives, even as husbands, even to amongst yourself. Even you're supposed to submit to hostile neighbors. All these are levels that grace of God will help. And then the grace of God will help you to suffer for doing good. And finally, the grace of God will help you to serve while you are there and serve significantly. So Peter here is talking about the grace of God to suffer for doing good. And Peter reveals a few things. And he says that the only thing that this grace can come is when you turn to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Please get that. This grace is released when we turn to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. And you need to turn to the areas of your fears. You need to turn the areas of your shame. You need to turn the area of your esteem. You need to turn the area of your guilt. You need to turn the area of your uncompassionate spirit. You need to turn the area of your scarcity. All those, you turn them to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. This is Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be able to see the grace of God being released. But once the grace of God comes, we are supposed to channel this grace to the rest of the people that you live in, and especially to the family of God, because you have it. So what did Peter say about suffering for doing good? Remember, one of the objectives or the purpose of being together with the people is to do good, is for their good, apart from being there for the glory of God. And for the growth and for grounding the enemy of our souls is that we need to do good in that place. We suffer for doing good, but we suffer with the grace of God aligned. Peter says, now, you who want to harm you, now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Peter starts by a rhetorical question. He does not want you to answer, but he wants you to reflect. But he says, who will want to harm you? In other words, by and large, when you are doing good, not many people will turn against you. When you do bad, people will always turn against you. But when you do good, sometimes people might not turn against you. But there is a time when you do good, and that doing good will attract heavy persecution. Peter says, but even if you suffer for doing good, for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threat. So Peter says, yeah, even if you do good, if you suffer because of doing good, God will reward you. In other words, Peter turns this particular topic that you're talking about here, and then he turns it and he said, look, brothers, God is going to reward you even if you are going to suffer for doing good. Then he says, don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Now, this is some of the things that we need the grace of God. How come that you don't worry when your house is burned, when your animals are destroyed because you followed Jesus? Don't be afraid. You have submitted your worry. Submit your threats to God. You submit those hostility to God. Peter said, instead, you must worship God as Lord of your life. See, he turns and says, yes, they'll prick you because you've done well. But instead of that, worship Jesus as the Lord of your life. Turn it to worship. It's not easy. It needs the grace of God. And if somebody asks about your hope as a believer, this is what we call apologetics now. Always be ready to explain it. Don't volunteer just telling people what they don't want to hear. Don't throw pearl or rubies or your gold to pigs. When people are not ready for hearing the gospel, just don't volunteer it. Know how to read the community. My being there is part of the gospel. But when to speak and when where to speak, you need the grace of God. You also need the wisdom that come from on high. Peter says, just be ready because they will ask you to explain what you believe and why you believe. At that particular point, they are teachable. They have got what we call the teachable spirits. They're ready to listen. Otherwise, the people out there are not willing and listen to listen. They're not willing and ready to listen to what you have. But of course, light cannot be hidden. Say this, be always ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then, if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. In other words, our lives before God will speak and will make them ashamed. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authority and powers accept his authority. Now, Peter here, it speaks very well and talks about our suffering, and he says, we will suffer for doing good, but we need to turn that to become a worshiper of God. You know how to worship God, but also don't volunteer information to those who are not ready to listen to it, but act it, become a model, become an example, but also be ready to answer the questions of about your belief, but above all, consider the suffering of Jesus Christ. This is the only way that we can be able to overcome our own suffering. If we lose the basis of the suffering of Jesus Christ, if we don't understand the suffering of Jesus Christ, if Jesus' suffering is not in our figure, that understanding, we will be able to give in and give up and return back to where we came from and lose heart. And that is what we say, we talk about turning to the shepherd and the guardian of our soul. So he talks about the suffering of Jesus Christ. And he said he suffered once and for all. He suffered for us, those who are living now. He died for us, but not only for us. We are reminded that even before the death of Jesus Christ, we are told that there are those who sinned and their sin have not been cleared. Because before Jesus came, sin was actually covered by the blood of animals, but not removal. It is by the blood of Jesus, by the suffering of Jesus, that he was able to clear the sin even for those who sinned before. Not only that, we are told that his death, during his death, was able to preach to those that were already in caves, in graves. And we also told how he went and declared to those, everybody from the time of Noah, he came and declared that he is a winner. Somebody says, did he preach to those who sinned against that time? No. Everybody who sinned and without God, of course, they'll be judged without the law. That's what the book of Romans says. But here we are told about the death of Jesus and how he died so that he can bring us home to God, or slavery home to God. And he suffered in physical, but he was also raised. Now you see, every time the Bible talks about the death and the suffering, it doesn't end there. The story goes to the raising in the spirit. And not only that, it goes up to the resurrection. It goes up to ascension and even to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful. Help us to suffer in your grace. In Jesus' name.